You're finding a frivolousness, huh?
David, is there any way we could strengthen this language to accomplish our purposes here?
I think the existing language does provide the level playing field that I understood the committee to want in this bill from the prior hearing on HB 203. I think this what you just read in terms of Section B seems to do the job.
Representative Croft, you have a comment?
Yeah, David, there was a concern about when we say costs by court rule, and what the drafters had told me was that that was necessary to invoke and not contradict Rule 68 defining what court costs are. You know,
I apologize. I see what you're focusing on now. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I believe that phrase by court rule actually applies to the award of costs. And the award of costs is addressed in Alaska Civil Rules of Procedure number 79. And costs are routinely awarded, full costs are routinely awarded, regardless of whether you've got a Rule 82 attorney fee situation or a full reasonable attorney fee situation. So now that I've focused on this in light of Representative Cross comment, the by court rule, I believe, phrase refers to the award of costs under Rule 79 and does not relate to the award of attorney full attorney fees.
That was certainly the intent, and I think the language does.
Are we all on board there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Schwartz. Is there anything else you wish to add?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Hearing no further testimony, the public testimony is closed on HB 203. Well, what's the wish of the committee? Do we and does the sponsor agree with the intent of amendment number one?
Yes, sir.
Well, then the chair would entertain a motion to adopt amendment number one.
Mr. Chairman, I move for the adoption of amendment number one.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, so moved. Chair would entertain a motion. Representative Hudson.
Mr. Chairman, I would move committee substitute House Bill number 203. L version as amended by this committee out with individual recommendations and no fiscal note and ask unanimous. Oh, I'm sorry, two fiscal note, are they zero?
Zero.
Zero fiscal note and ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, so moved. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you for your patience.
Next
thank
one will
you guys.
Be take a brief at ease while we sign the book and then prepare to hear very quickly House Bill 142. Back to order, please. And next we'll take up House Bill 142, which is the one moment, please. An act relating to the sale of new and used motor vehicles relating to the confidentiality of certain information related to attorney general investigations of unlawful trade practices and antitrust activities establishing additional unlawful trade practices, et cetera, et cetera. Did I get that? Okay. And we welcome to the committee Representative Gary Davis, who is the current sponsor of this bill, and Representative Davis, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Of course, if you'd have completed the title, you'd have completed my sponsor statement. Mr. Chairman, this bill has was initiated and drafted and introduced quite a while ago. The reason the request for the committee to hear it was only, you know, somewhat recently submitted was that there's been a lot of work done between myself and the department to try and get a bill that would be nice and clean. We've run into some complications with the Automobile Dealers Associations. I've listened to them. They had their meeting, annual meeting in Juneau, and I went to that meeting, and I understand a lot of their concerns, and I agree with a lot of their concerns. As indicated in the sponsor statement, section of this bill and a large portion of the text in the bill relates to used car dealers and how they expose problems that that may exist on a vehicle. That's a large section of the bill. I believe in part of the meeting that I attended with them, they've indicated over the years there's been numerous pieces of legislation that deals with the used car dealers, and of course a lot of people will associate used car dealers and reputations right along with politicians. And so, you know, there's a lot of concern.
Point of order.
There's a lot of concern with how they deal with it. And of course, it's somewhat related to the tobacco tax. Everybody can relate to something that deals with automobiles and selling and purchasing automobiles. So there's a large public concern. There's bound to be problems now and then. So it would be my recommendation, Mr. Chairman, to simplify this bill, and I think to pull out section that is questionable and probably needs some work on, and I think the department will agree. The sections, I believe it's section two of the bill that deals with public disclosure of problems with the vehicles that not only the used car dealers but new car dealers and also manufacturers must convey in a reasonable what's felt as a reasonable fashion in the bill to the consuming public. So with section two, if it's the desire of the committee, of course it's strictly of course up to the committee. I've spoken to the to you, Mr. Chairman, about it in some detail, and I know the department and some of my staff has talked to a number of the committee members. If that would be reasonable, and I don't want to talk too long, I know time is short, because there are people that want to testify in the bill, and I'd really like to get to them as opposed to me addressing things. Section one of the bill deals with the emissions inspection emission certification in Anchorage and Fairbanks that's required. There have been some problems. Some people would say significant problems. Others would say relatively minor problems. So there's some debate, and there will be testimony, I think, to satisfy the committee. I think that there is a problem, and I think we can address the problem with a person feeling that they've committed themselves to a sale before the IM certification is provided, before the it's certified that there aren't any problems. There is a bit of a problem in that area. That's what Section 1 addresses. The other sections of the bill relate to some consumer problems that have come up in court cases, and also some tweaking of recent legislation that the Consumer Affairs Department of section of the Department of Law, I believe, is how it can be presented. I'm not exactly who what David Schwartz's office is called, but they've come across some problems that I believe are just some housekeeping measures in the bill relating to catalog sales and our telemarketing legislation that we passed, I believe, last year. They found a loophole in the catalog exemption sales, or it's not addressed properly. That's being addressed in here. It's just closing a loophole there. And then in some recent situations around the state with some of these business opportunity sales people that come in and give some high power speeches on how to go into business and make a quick buck, and they're the ones making the quick buck, and there isn't much chance for anybody else. So that's being addressed also. So, of course, being familiar with the sections, I feel that there's some technicalities being cleaned up. But of course, I hope I can convince the committee of the same, and other testifiers are the same. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and step back unless there's any questions, and let those that have wanted to testify in this and give their end of the story, let them testify instead of myself.
Well, thank you very much, Representative Davis. So you do have a question from Representative Cotter.
Does this pertain only to dealers? What about private transactions between
the? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Cowdery, right. Good question, and that came up with the Automobile Dealers Association. That's a question that's not addressed in Section 2, and it's probably a question that, that should be addressed, whether why it's not in here or how it can be included if that section stays in.
Thank you.
Right. Just for everybody's information, I want to take public testimony today, and that's the intention of the chair to move this bill to a subcommittee for interim study. It's a very broad and major bill dealing with a good deal of consumer protection in other areas, but because it hits on a multiple number of subjects, that I think the committee does want to take those up. As it relates to Section 2, as suggested by the sponsor, it's the desire of the chair right now to leave that in the bill because we want to review to see if, in all probability reviewing it, but perhaps another bill would be generated out of it to make sure that those concerns are properly covered in whatever vehicle we'll be working with the bill sponsor. And thank you very much, Mr. Davis, Representative Davis. With that, we'd like to go to the teleconference line and hope we can have Rick Gilmore online, sir. Mr. Gilmore, are you available? Anchorage, are you on?
Mr. Chair, this is David Schwartz from Anchorage. Mr. Gilmore, unfortunately, had to leave about 45 minutes ago.
Right, very good. Then we'll go to Angela Ard, and I'd ask everybody, because of the time, to try to keep their testimony about 2 minutes, and remembering we're going to be carrying this over. So.
Good afternoon. My name is Angela Ard, and I'm testifying on behalf of myself as a citizen of Anchorage. On July 29, 1996, I purchased an $11,000 GMC Sierra from a well-known Anchorage used auto dealer. During negotiations, I indicated that I would like to take the vehicle to a mechanic for an inspection before purchasing it. I was told by the salesman that an inspection wasn't necessary and that the truck was in great shape. I proceeded to close the deal. The following morning, upon attempting to start the truck, it made a horrible grinding noise and had to be towed back to the dealership for repairs. I was informed by the dealership that the truck would not pass IM certification and had to have part of the engine repaired because of extensive smoke damage. Had I known that this $11,000 vehicle would not pass IM certification, I never would have purchased it. The dealership, however, required me to sign a disclosure guaranteeing that my trade-in auto would pass IM certification and that if it failed, I would pay to fix it. They offered no such guarantee on the truck they were selling me. After the dealership made the necessary repairs to the truck, I took it to a mechanic for an inspection and learned that the truck had been in a prior wreck and had no air conditioning. I had asked the mechanic at the dealership why the air wasn't working, and he told me to, quote, let it run a little longer. In actuality, the entire air conditioning system had been removed from the vehicle because of the wreck it had suffered. After failing to find me a decent vehicle, I asked the dealership to unwind the deal. They refused. I finally sought legal assistance, at which time they unwound the deal. It was very frustrating and disappointing to be misled and taken advantage of by this used auto dealership. If this bill were in effect when I was in the market for purchasing a used vehicle, it would have saved me from purchasing this lemon. That concludes my testimony. Thank you.
Angela, the let's see. Was there not the fact, was the vehicle you bought, was that previously wrecked vehicle? Is that, I'm trying to remember. Didn't we have a conversation with you last year?
Not that I recall, no.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of somebody in my district that I helped look into, a very similar. The fact pattern sounds almost the same as somebody I helped out last year.
Didn't surprise me.
Right. We're getting any questions, Representative Cotter.
Did this... you bought this from a dealer in Anchorage?
That's correct.
But as I read and heard your testimony, they made it good until after, they wouldn't do it until after you got a legal assistance, is that right?
That's correct. Several times they tried to give me a new vehicle, which they kept increasing in price, by the way, and I had those checked out, and they had several mechanical problems. So because I was aware of something that could help me, I spoke to David, and he was able to talk to them, write them a letter of some sort, in which they agreed to unwind the deal after that.
And is this dealer still in business?
Oh, that's correct. They're well known.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. It's very tempting to name them, but we appreciate your candor there anyway. Going on, Kate Remy, please. And could you keep our testimony as short as possible? We are in a...
Yes, I have the same feelings, and so I don't really have to repeat myself. But just in listening to Angela's testimony and to what I was listening to Representative Davis talk about removing the Section 2, the whole concept of consumer protection revolves around the notion that consumers should, number one, get what they pay for, be aware of the contents of the items they purchase, be guaranteed the safety of those products, and be aware of any policies and practices affecting the finances of their private lives, and have recourse for breaches of any of these principles. We know without someone like David that would help Angela, or without legal recourse, these consumer issues are very often unresolved. Thank you.
The questions of Ms. Ramey. Representative Cotter.
Yeah, I have, I buy vehicles not too often, but I own three, or I guess four. And I sell them when I start seeing that the repair bill is going to be up. I generally sell them. With this, and there's not anything particularly wrong at the time. It's just that it's my feeling of the mileage and this and that. I wanted to ask you, do you think, should we address this kind of a scenario to the private sector, doing business with private sector with a piece of legislation?
Well, it's not part of the Consumer Protection Act. It's my understanding that there is no jurisdiction over private sale, and that is actually one of the major complaints that we get is dealers who are posing as private citizens selling previously wrecked vehicles that have been totaled by insurance companies and then creating a very, very serious and dangerous driving situation. So I don't have the answer to your question, but as it stands now, there's no jurisdiction that even addresses that for privatization.
Thank you.
Representative Davis, you have a question?
Yes, I just wanted to assure the testifier if Section 2 does get pulled from the bill, the issue still will be looked at. It just probably would not be a part of this legislation.
That's correct, and that's why I wanted to leave it in, so we would be able to take some testimony and see what we should do with that. That's the intention of leaving it in the bill rather than removing it at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to take some testimony from here in Juneau. And Ms. Mulligan again, ma'am.
I think we'll probably support this bill, but I'd like to wait until it comes out of the subcommittee.
Very good. Thank you very much, ma'am. That was Peggy Mulligan from the AARP. Crystal Smith, please.
Right. Just briefly, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate, my name is Crystal Smith. I'm a legislative liaison for the Department of Law, the Civil Division, and I wanted to express our support for HB 142. And also particularly to Representative Davis and to you for scheduling it. I want to remind you, as you all know, I'm not the attorney, I'm the generalist, and I looked at this bill from the view of a consumer, and I think there are a lot of really important aspects of it. I appreciate your, I appreciate your interest in carrying it over. I'd love to have seen it pass out of your committee this year, but I can understand your concerns and wanting to look at it. I want to make really clear that nothing in this bill is intended to harm, honest, straightforward business people. It's my belief that people who are in business in Alaska, whether it's small business people, whether it's automobile dealers, it's the people doing telemarketing, the people who are doing it according to the rules and being honest and straightforward don't have anything to fear from this. But I do think the bad actors and whatever our professions are, if there's a bad actor in that profession, I think it harms those of us who are not bad actors. And so I think we're looking at that as the thrust of this. It does have it has five parts, basically: the emissions certificate, letting you know that what the status is before you sign a sales contract, and that's a cleanup of a legislation that was passed back in '92 and wasn't written quite right. Mr. King is here from DEC who could speak to this, but we probably won't have time today. Section 2 we've talked about. There's a confidentiality of investigative records for consumer protection antitrust cases. And the mail order catalog exemption, we've had cases, and David has, you know, could talk for hours on the war stories. I wish there weren't so many war stories about the people who, I thought it was very interesting the chairman said, oh, it sounds like we've heard this story before. There are a lot of them. We've had some problems with people saying that they were exempt from the telemarketing registration requirement because they were mail order catalog people. Well, they had a catalog. It was sitting in their office in wherever this was out of state, and they had a catalog. Therefore, they were catalog. That's not, you know, there are certain requirements for being a legitimate mail order business. If you're Cabela's and you have your catalog in the mail, that's fine. And then the question of business opportunities. And I guess it wasn't one of you, although I'm sure you have all had this experience with your constituents. We did get a call recently, somebody saying, legislator saying, well, what can we do about these business, quote, business opportunities, the ones that I think Representative Davis said they're making more money off of them than the folks who get taken in by the deals. So there's a comprehensive statute included in this bill that would require registration of business opportunity people. So we'd have some chance to be able to get back at them if somebody does come and say, gosh, I got taken advantage of. So we'll be willing to work with you certainly over the interim and get this into a shape that everybody can be happy with. And I'll be glad to answer questions. And I don't think we want to get in the technical ones, but of course, David is also there for the technical pieces.
One question.
Back in the, when I served down here before in the 80s, in this committee established the Lemon Law.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was when.
I don't know if it's changed. I haven't followed it, but does this impact that, or is that it still in? Does that cover things that we're trying to cover here?
Well, I would need to defer to David on that, but it's my understanding that this would supplement the Lemon Law, and as I understand, the Lemon Law is for new vehicles.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect the used vehicles.
I didn't know if it was changed from that time.
David is Mr. Consumer Protection Law, so I'd let him answer that for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Ryan.
You know, I'm getting to the age when I guess I'm moving into my dotage, and I'm in my 60s now. And when I was a young man, there were many, many jokes going around about the fellow that bought the horse. And it seems to me it's moved into automobiles now. And the moral of all those jokes and stories when I was a young man was that you have to really be careful what you're buying, because if you aren't, you're going to get stuck with something. And I can see a little bit, you know, consumer protection to find you out in old charlatan, but where does the responsibility come on the person that's laying their money down?
Through the chair, Representative Ryan, I'm sure that we could discuss this issue for hours, but I would say that things that you as, and I mean, I just bought a used car, and I can tell you I went to every dealer in Juneau and said, what do you have, and da-da-da, and I felt uncomfortable enough that I went to my mechanic and said to him, will you help me find a used car? Because I think that in the areas that you don't know about, you know, you can get taken advantage of. Maybe you can't, but boy, I can tell you there are certain areas where I want to know who I'm dealing with. If I buy a car, if I go to an attorney, if I go to a doctor, those are areas where I don't know enough about the subject matter myself, and I want to be sure that I'm dealing with somebody legitimate. And if that takes some protection to say, you used car dealer, you need to tell me that this car was in a wreck, then I think that's, you know, it doesn't mean I don't think I have some responsibility. And part of my responsibility is finding somebody I can deal with that I feel comfortable with and that I trust. But there are charlatans in the world, and I think we have to admit that fact.
The world is full of them. Go deal in bankers sometime. You'll find all of the ones that haven't been caught. No, what I don't want to do is put a presumption on a businessman that they're up to something and they're trying to steal from somebody.
Well, Representative...
If they're carrying on business, yeah. It's not ethical, yes.
Representative Ryan, I would agree with you, and I think that's why... That's one of my beginning comments to say that I think that somebody who's a legitimate business person has, you know, nothing to fear from this, because I don't think anything that's in here is an unreasonable kind of requirement. So, but that's, you know, I just don't think that there are things that are unreasonable to ask people to do.
Thank you. We'll take testimony from Mr. Schwartz, and then unfortunately, because of the lateness of the hour, sorry for the folks that waited for 1:26. I'm not gonna do it. We'll be taking it up first thing on Wednesday.
Session.
I apologize if you know it's a tough thing to sit through this thing. Mr. Schwartz, sir, are you available for testimony?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I could give a lot of technical comments on this bill, and I will at the time it comes up in subcommittee and respond fully to any hearing on it in subcommittee or in the full committee. I believe, in general, that Crystal Smith has articulated the philosophy behind the Department of Law's interest in supporting this bill. Section 1 simply says that simply ensures that a person who is buying a used car that requires an auto emissions inspection is going to be notified up front prior to sale of the emission status of the vehicle. And you heard consumer Angela Ard testify as to what happened with her particular purchase. And I think her testimony illustrates the need for Section 1. Personally, I deal with the Anchorage IM office rather frequently on these problems. And they tell me that on average, they over a year's time, they get about 10 complaints per month from persons who buy a used car from a used car dealer only to find out afterward, after they've obligated themselves to the sale, that the car will not pass IM and they'll have to invest quite a bit of additional funds in certain circumstances to get it to pass IM so they can register it and legally drive the vehicle. Section 2, there are all sorts of situations that come up in terms of the disclosure of failure to disclose the damage that used car dealers may know that a vehicle has. Attorney General's office prevailed in a three-week jury trial against a major Anchorage auto dealer who was found to be liable on 18 of 22 counts of civil fraud, failure to disclose that eight vehicles that it had sold had been previously wrecked and totaled. Some of these vehicles were extreme safety hazards. Section 4, 5, and 6 of the bill basically clarify the existing state of affairs with regard to the confidentiality of investigative records of the Attorney General's Office for Consumer Protection and Antitrust Investigations, and would make ensure that businesses that are alleged to have violated the law don't have their names bandied about simply because there are allegations that may turn out to be unfounded. And it also ensures that witnesses who may have who may want to testify for or against the businesses that have been alleged to have violated the law will not be subjected to a lot of publicity simply because they've offered testimony to the Attorney General's office. Section 7 deals with clarification of the existing exemptions in the mail order catalog, or a provision that deals with the mail order catalog exemption to the telemarketer registration law. As Crystal Smith alluded to, there was a case involving a San Diego telemarketer who had a catalog that they only distributed in San Diego, but they were telemarketing to Alaskans, and they refused to register under our 1993 Telemarketing Registration Act. And the Alaska Supreme Court agreed this year, actually January of this year, that the mail order catalog exemption did not cover that particular instance. So we're simply trying to now clarify the existing statute to make sure that everyone knows what it takes to qualify as a mail order catalog operation and therefore be exempt from telemarketing registration. Section 8 is the Comprehensive Business Opportunities Disclosure Act legislation, which will get at those lower 48, primarily lower 48 business opportunity sellers who sell largely worthless so-called sales kits, business kits, to Alaskans, particularly around permanent fund dividend time. then they use the sale of these kits, which usually range from anywhere from 500 to several thousands of dollars, as an entree to sell Alaskans even more services that range up to $10,000 to $15,000 per year. So this would require registration and disclosure and bonding and other protections for people who have an entrepreneurial spirit but really get caught up in the so-called excitement and high-pressure sales that occur in a large hotel ballroom where most of these sales business opportunity kits are pitched.
Mr. Schwartz, could I interrupt you just a moment?
Yes.
I've got a really significant concern here because this committee is in the process of rewriting the entire real estate statute. I don't recall the title right now. But business opportunities are something that, in part, but not exclusively, have been handled by real estate brokers. And I appreciate what you're getting at here, these those folks who advertise on late night TV for these seminars, I guess, is the thrust of your thing here. But I'm kind of concerned about the sweep here and what you're getting into as it relates to some of these other things, and in essence create some type of a kind of a de facto licensure, if you will, or some kind of something going on here that might more properly be under another title or something. And where what you're getting at is, then, are you endeavoring to prohibit these types of sales activities, regulate them, or infringe on real estate brokers, or what's the thrust here?
Oh, not at all, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate you bringing that up. The bill actually has a series of exemptions, and 10 to be exact, and they can be found on pages 17 through 18. Page 17, line 8 through 18, line 10, or line 11, excuse me. And the 10th exemption has to do with if the seller or the buyer is licensed as a real estate broker, associate real estate broker, or real estate salesperson under Title 8 of the Alaska statutes, and the sale or offer is regulated by Title 8. So it is not our intent to create a new licensure for real estate agents or brokers or other people already regulated. And in fact, this whole regulation scheme, or registration scheme, is modeled after the existing telemarketing registration law. And the two policies driving the exemptions in the telemarketing law and in this bill for business opportunity registration would be that there'd be no attempt to require registration of those activities that are otherwise regulated by statute in a similar way. And also, there would be no attempt to require registration of activities that that don't seem to pose a problem. So I appreciate your concerns about that. And the last thing the Department of Law wants to do is duplicate existing registration and regulation schemes. I hope that responds to your concern.
When they're registering, which department are they registering with? The Department of
as
Law?
As with the telemarketing registration, this bill would require registration with the Attorney General's office.
So I guess if you weren't a member of the bar or you weren't a licensed real estate broker at all, you would have to be registered with the Attorney General's office to do something like selling businesses. Is that correct?
Well, again, there are some exemptions, and I'd say, to be fair in my response to that, I'd have to go over each and every exemption with you, and then you would see that what this bill, after you get past the exemptions, what this bill really gets at is the kind of sale where there's a it's advertised on a late-night TV infomercial, and what they're selling are T-shirt businesses, 900-number businesses, distressed merchandise businesses for anywhere from $500 to $3,000 or more. And it's that kind of sale that this registration requirement is aimed at, rather than activities that are already regulated or don't seem to pose a problem. And one exemption, for example, is the sale of a business opportunity to an ongoing business. And just as an example of the many exemptions, to narrow the scope of this registration requirement. The goal here would be to really target the problem.
So this whole section here for a number of pages really relates to this. What is this, a new chapter 66?
It would be a new chapter in the Consumer Protection Act. That's correct.
So all these areas about down payments, escrow accounts, on these other things only relate to this particular chapter, then, is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Section 8 goes on in this bill from page... from page 6, line 31, all the way to just about the end of the bill, actually to the last page of the bill on page line 8, or on line 8 of page 21.
Who is this, what's the name of the guy that does all these, the get rich quick, the ones that Steve, we'll have to have a name for this section here. It's up to Representative Davis' office to come up with a common use name for this section of the bill.
We'll do that, Mr. Chairman. I'll watch. Yeah. I'll stay up and watch late night TV so I can get that guy's name.
You need a good name for this guy. Yeah, okay. Is there further testimony, Mr. Swartz?
None at this time, Mr. Chairman, although I certainly would be available to answer any questions.
Well, it's the intention of this, the chair to appoint a subcommittee and look into this legislation in the interim. And I appreciate your input into the bill, Mr. Swartz, and look forward to having an opportunity to meet with you on this legislation and making sure it's in good condition to bring up at the first part of the session next year.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would like to personally thank Representative Davis and his staff for working so hard on the bill.
Very good, sir. Thank you very much. That concludes the public testimony on this, and we will hold public testimony over on House Bill 142. For further consideration by the committee. And with that, I will appoint a subcommittee to include myself, Representative Ryan, and Representative Bryce. If the committee aide would make due note of that. With that, the public testimony on House Bill 142 is concluded. And this committee meeting is adjourned at 5:44.